we cross over now to Ibrahim Touril B. We're talking about the latest from Afghanistan. Ibrahim is a long-term observer of Afghanistan politics. He's also a specialist in international relations and security studies. Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam Internationally.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My pleasure to be joining you.
Now, we understand that the Taliban have surrounded Kandahar and other major cities. We also understand that they are building relationships with China and India and no longer just Pakistan. Are they looking to take power totally now that the U.S. is leaving?
Well, it's pertinent to point out that this is a turning moment in the war. Up until now, the Taliban have been able to gain territories in far-flung, remote or rural areas. Right now, they are at the gates of almost every major city except for Kabul and Jalalabad. So there could be a feeling within the Taliban that they are perhaps on the verge of gaining power. Most analysts would agree that they're there is no immediate risk of a collapse of the government, but from the Taliban perspective, there seems to be they seem to be exhuming a level of confidence in their ability to at least come out on top militarily, if not succeed in a complete victory.
Now, it's 20 years since the invasion of Afghanistan. A whole generation of Afghans have grown up not under Taliban rule. Is there likely to be an ideological clash now in the so-called new Afghanistan, or will the Taliban be able to navigate around that?
Well, that has been one of the most important generational developments, if we want to call it, in Afghanistan. Because on the one hand, people in a lot of rural populations went to the cities and they were able to benefit financially and education-wise from the influx of foreign aid and attention that Afghanistan was getting in the past 20 years. And that has built, Afghanistan has managed to build quite a large cohort or population that has been educated with the modern education standards, have attended universities in the United States or Europe, and generally the urban center has been able to benefit quite significantly from the financial aid that was coming into the country. The rural areas, not so much. They always it felt as if they were a bit behind in terms of reaping any kind of benefits of the U.S. intervention in Afghanistan. And that has created, some would say it's a controversial statement to make, but some argue that there is in Afghanistan a social divide between the urban and the rural. Now, the Taliban have been able to make, if we want to tie it back to the Taliban, they have been able to make progress in rural areas. But now that they're at the gates of urban centers, we're already seeing resistance to their thinking and to their movement. There's currently these days, as you're aware, there is a campaign by that sprang up quite sporadically in Herat when the Taliban forces went there, and the population one night, I don't know exactly what portion of the population, but there were certainly, it sounded like there were thousands of people out on their balconies shouting Allahu Akbar and supporting the Ismail Khan and the government forces that were defending it. And that movement has spread to other centers around the country as well. We saw a much smaller scale, but we did see, again, large populations coming out and shouting Allahu Akbar in Kabul and in other cities around the world, around the country, my apologies. So there is, it does indicate, I think, that in the urban centers, the Taliban are likely to face a new generation that hasn't been touched by the Taliban's governance or their movement or their presence over the last 20 years. And that constituency might be a lot more resistant to the Taliban than the rural population, which has always been touched by the Taliban's insurgency at some level or other.
Do you think the occupying forces that are now on their way out, would they be indifferent to the Taliban taking power?
That's a difficult question to answer. I mean, already we are seeing the U.S. has militarily re-engaged in many of the fight for many of the urban centers. For a bit of context, there is currently the Taliban have breached, or they're at the gates of about 5 to 7 provincial capitals right now. So they're attempting to take over, or at least breaching 5 to 7 provincial capitals. And the U.S. air support has been active in some of these theaters. In Herat, they have done bombings. In Lashkargah, there's been a lot of bombings, with reports saying that the U.S. is also quite heavily involved in those bombardment campaigns. So there is a level of U.S. intervention right now. The question is, post-U.S. withdrawal, because the U.S. withdrawal is not complete yet. The deadline that President Biden had chosen was September 11th. So after post-September 11th, whether the U.S. will continue to engage or not is an interesting topic. President Biden has given no indication. One can almost say quite emphatically the administration has said that they will not re-intervene in Afghanistan unless they see a vital national security threat, which has been defined as terrorist groups becoming active in Afghanistan again and posing a threat to the U.S. and its allies. Short of that, they said they will not be sending troops back to Afghanistan. But will they continue to and what we also know is that they will continue to support the Afghan government financially. But the question on whether they will continue to support the government forces by sending over-the-horizon aircraft to bomb Taliban positions or advancing Taliban forces, that there's a bit of ambiguity around that question for now.
Ibrahim, shukran so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Wa iyyakum. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.